Good afternoon and welcome to Stage Talk, a weekly conversation about local theater. I'm Steve Hunt.
And I'm Jean Paul, and today we'll be talking about Perseverance Theater's production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
And to talk about it, we have two of the actors from the show. We have Enrique Bravo, who's playing the part of Brick. Welcome to Stage Talk, Enrique.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having us.
And we also have Kevin T. Bennett, a favorite of Anchorage audiences, who's playing Dr. Baugh. Welcome to Stage Talk, Kevin.
Thank you, Steve.
Well, I want to talk to you guys about your roles in the show, but first of all, for our audience who may not know, they know the name of the play, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, may not be that familiar with sort of the plot line. Enrique, why don't you tell us a little bit, in brief, the story of this play?
Well, it's sort of a family drama. There's a lot going on. Basically, the family is finding out that Big Daddy is dying of cancer, and so there's a lot of conflict going on around that. Brick has just had a good friend of his, Skipper, die, which he's also dealing with. They're, in that, he was dealing with sort of his sexuality, what sort of relationship he had with Skipper, and he's basically drinking himself to death. And along comes this sort of other fork in the road, which is Big Daddy dying, and how the family sort of rallies around or doesn't in the sort of grasping for the golden ring, which is the land and money and everything that comes with it.
And of course, we can't talk about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof without talking about Cat.
Yeah.
Tell us about Maggie.
Oh, she's a little money hungry. She's definitely trying to impose her will on me and the family. It's played by an actress called Liz Kelly. She's from New York. She's great. She's wonderful. I've been very fortunate to have a great Maggie. It's great going on stage every night with her. It's she really brings a lot to the character, and
well,
I'm looking forward.
Almost the not quite, but almost the central character,
right?
Other than Big Daddy
right,
himself.
Right, right. That's been very apparent, even in the general production. People have really sort of grasped onto sort of the hope that Maggie brings, even though as desperate as it is, there's a lot of people that have walked up saying, wow, you know, Maggie's character is really... And it's crazy because she's not in a lot of the second act, but the first act, it is pretty much all her.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And Brick must be a challenging part to play as well, because Maggie's the one who keeps pushing him, and as an actor,
right,
you're having to sort of resist that in a way.
There is. There's a lot of sort of subtle... things that are that's what's great about the first scene that I appreciate. It's sort of a little like Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf in a sense. It's got these couple that knows how to pick those sore spots and what makes them sort of, and the whole scene she's sort of trying to figure out how to just get me back to life, because I've sort of resolved to just doing nothing and drinking myself. But she's sort of trying different tactics to try to get me to live again, which is, Liz does a great job with that. And it's been great to find those moments.
And the last scene is wonderful.
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
Well, Kevin, tell us about your part as Dr. Baugh.
Doc Baugh. Well, Doc Baugh is kind of a reluctant participant in this family environment, but I was hired to fill in for an actor who was originally cast in Juno, a fellow named Ben Brown, a guy that you probably know.
Oh, I do. I have met him. Yeah,
yeah.
I have,
yeah. We worked together back in the '80s. Anyway, he was unable to make the trip, and myself and David Haynes were both cast in two different roles as Doc Baugh and Reverend Tooker. And it's been kind of we've had a good time integrating with the cast and, rehearsing with them and seeing the production as they've done. Doc Baugh is... Well, I can't give you too much detail without, giving away something, but he is kind of a reluctant character, and he seems to have a sense of integrity. And that's been played different ways over the years. You know, sometimes he's not such a fine, upstanding citizen, and sometimes he is. And this time he is. So.
One thing I've noticed about Tennessee Williams' plays, and I'm a big fan of Tennessee Williams, for those people who know, mm-hmm, I've loved his work, is that all the characters in his plays, and sometimes he writes a lot of characters in his plays, that sometimes you would not see the number of characters in a play written today because of the economics, But all the characters in his plays really have a contribution to the play. They're not just they're not just supers. They're just they really have a strong need to be there.
That's true of all of his plays.
Exactly right. Oh, all his plays, right? And you kind of mentioned that a little bit here. But what is? Why are you in the play?
Well, Doc Paul has to disseminate some information. He really does. And he has to act as something of a reflection of the family's influence. And there's a word that comes up often in the play. It's called mendacity. And Doc Baugh is a different type of real-world reflection of, you know, the mendacity occurring in the room.
Which the play is full of.
Yeah.
For those of you who are just tuning in, this is Stage Talk here with our guests, Enrique Bravo and Kevin T. Bennett, talking about Perseverance production of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Enrique, let's get back to you for a moment. You know, one of the things I've always found interesting about Williams' works is that a lot of people think of them as being very heavy. Mm-hmm. But I've personally found that to find the humor in the plays really is what drives it through. And you sort of talked about that with that first scene with Maggie and Brick. Mm-hmm. There's some humor in that as well. Are you finding the humor in the
that's part? That actually for me was the most surprising thing, because it's such a heavy show that you sort of need those little pockets of humor to sort of just kind of get the audience to just take a breath and realize, you know, and that's... Once we actually put it in front of an audience, that for me that was the most surprising thing. How funny it actually is, especially to sort of diffuse the tension in a lot of those scenes. That's where Tennessee is great at putting those little jokes. I've been very very. And it seems like they've been playing pretty consistently. So
his everything he ever wrote is exceptional.
Right.
And I would urge everybody, if they've never seen this play, don't miss it. It's fascinating and it's full of surprises.
Well, that's what I was having this conversation with the director, and RB's done a great job too, especially working with, you know, two separate casts and the sort of gamut of people that are in this show. But what I think has been great as far as working on Tennessee Williams Police is that he takes these huge ideas and themes and brings it down to sort of a just a human level, which is pretty amazing. It's kind of it's sort of overwhelming that he had that sort of vision.
Right. He can take something like you say, a huge theme, and put it in a bedroom with two people.
Exactly.
And you see just the tension between them, and just the joy of the relationship between Maggie and Brick, as you mentioned before. There's that you mentioned it, like Albee's play, Virginia Woolf. Mm-hmm. Can you go a little bit more with that, with the relationship between Brick and Maggie, the love-hate relationship they have?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of a blame that Brick puts on Maggie. That Brick is dealing with a lot of sort of self-hate. Self-loathing, and the thing about Big Daddy and Kat and Maggie is that they are basically putting up a mirror to him and saying, you know, this is who you are, accept it, it's okay. But Brick is caught in so much of his self-loathing that he can't see it. And I think that's what's painful about those two relationships, is that they sort of want him to just come to terms with who he is, but he can't do that.
But Brick also wants Big Daddy to come to terms with what he is as well. There's that wonderful scene they have together. How is it working with the actor playing Big Daddy?
Oh, he's been great too. It's Herbert Seguenza. He's one of the founding members of Culture Clash, which has, you know, been around for, I want to say, 30 years. He's great. That scene in particular, I mean, that's a sort of a mountain to climb every night, because there's so much that is, I mean, for the most part, with little interruptions, which also Tennessee puts in, the interruption with the Reverend, right, as he's basically, challenged Big Daddy and saying that, I you know, are you calling me queer? And, right, that's when, you know, Christianity walks in, you know, it's I mean, that's not there by accident. So, but with the exception of that, it's pretty much a duet, you know, for an hour. And there's a lot of scraping and kind of getting to the bones of stuff. And that's basically all that scene is kind of getting to the meat of where we're at.
And there's hardly ever any just walk-on characters in a Tennessee Williams play. Every character has a part.
It's a lot like music, isn't it? That you have pieces coming in at the exact moment they need to be there to help underscore what's going on.
Yeah, well, and the thing I appreciate about Tennessee Williams too is that he has a lot of overlap, and in that sense, it is like music. It's when people come in and out, how that plays. There's a whole scene in the third act where I'm actually even singing over dialogue in a drunken stupor.
Well, Kevin, any last words you want to say about your role with Dr. Baugh?
Well, I've really had a wonderful time playing with Enrique and Elizabeth and RB. It's been a lot of fun. I enjoy the language of Tennessee Williams immensely. It reminds me of Arthur Miller in the way that he talks and establishes a melody and a rhythm. To the dialogue. It's a wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Well, thanks very much for coming to talk to us about it, and I'm looking forward to it. I hope everybody else is too. Thanks for coming on Rico Bravo.
Thank you.
Kevin Bennett to talk to us about Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
And now, here's the Stage Talk calendar. And remember, for another calendar or to post your event, go to the community calendar on alaskapublic.org.
Over at Cyrano's, you can see the spoof, All the Great Books, running through April the 20th. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7, and Sunday at 3. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Perseverance Theater is partnering with Dominic D'Andrea, producing artistic director of the 1 Minute Play Festival of New York City, and the Anchorage Theater community produce the Alaska 1 Minute Play Festival on April 14th and 15th at 7:30 p.m. at the Sidney Lawrence Theater in the Performing Arts Center. For tickets and information, call 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
A lot of things happening with Alaska Theater of Youth. They are enrolling students for their Drama Center 4, their Glee Camp, their Summer Youth Theater Conservatory, and Cirque Weeks. Space is filling up fast, so call today at 907-338-4901 or email admin@alaskatheaterofyouth.org.
Up in Wasilla, you can see Valley Performing Arts production of The Marvelous Wonderettes by Roger Bean, which runs through April 20th. Showtimes are Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 and Sunday at 2. I highly recommend this performance. I've seen it. For tickets and information, call 373-0195 or go to valleyperformingarts.org.
And finally, Perseverance Theater of Juneau is presenting the Tennessee Williams classic play Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. It will run Friday, April the 11th. Through the 27th at the Sidney Lawrence Theater in the Performing Arts Center. Performances are at 7:30 Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and 4 on Sunday, with one extra performance on Wednesday, April the 23rd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and information at 263-ARTS or go to centertix.net.
Hi, I'm Jean Paul from KSKA Stage Talk, heard every Friday afternoon at 2:45 p.m. Along with my Stage Talk co-host, Stephen Hunt, we talk with directors, actors, and writers about the performing arts in South Central Alaska. KSKA is listener-supported radio. The contribution campaign ends today, so call right now with your pledge to support programs like Stage Talk on KSKA, 550-8484. Or you can join online at alaskapublic.org.
And I'm Steve Hunt, proud collaborator with Jean Paul on Stage Talk. Find out what's playing and who's performing on stage each Friday afternoon on Stage Talk's calendar of events, along with discussions about local theater productions. It's radio worth listening to and programming worth contributing to. Call now at 550-8484, or you can go online at alaskapublic.org. The contribution campaign ends today, so don't wait to support this great station. Send in money today. And thanks for listening to Stage Talk on KSKA, Alaska Public Media, and thanks for supporting FM 91.
Until the next time, I'm Jean Paul.
And I'm Steve Hunt for KSKA.
Stage Talk is a production of Alaska Public Media, which is solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are those of the host and participants, do not reflect the underwriters or KSKA. Learn more about Stage Talk and listen online at alaskapublic.org. Life informed. This is Alaska Public Media.